History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Andy, over the last year, maybe a little bit more, we've seen a little bit of a trend where diamond prices are starting to decline. Why is that? What have you been noticing from your perspective in terms of why diamond prices are going down?
Well, there's two issues that are going on in the market right now in the diamond industry. The first is the emergence of lab-grown diamonds and its maturity. You know, the lab-grown market has now reached its full maturity. And then the second is the issue with tariffs. So both of those market conditions have created downward pressure in the natural diamond market because of supply. And so because of the supply and the demand for that supply has dropped, the pricing has had to drop as well, just to maintain interest in the natural diamond market.
Take us through, for people that don't know, what's the difference with these lab-grown diamonds compared to the natural diamonds and how that kind of affects everything?
So from a molecular structure or standpoint, they're almost identical. They're not identical, but almost identical to a natural diamond. A lab-grown diamond is. But the lab-grown diamond is grown in a lab setting. Usually what is done is they take a seed, a crystal, and they put it on a plate inside of like a centrifuge, and they put methane gas in there, and then they superheat it, usually with a laser, in a very focused situation, and they can synthesize the actual growing process that takes place in the Earth's crust. But, you know, what's happened over the last 5 years is the technology and the equipment that is needed to produce lab-grown diamonds has dropped significantly, and we have more growing facilities that are popping up in countries, in manufacturing centers like China and Vietnam and India, which has made the production process much less costly. The equipment's less expensive, and so you have all these growers that are coming up online now and producing just a glut of supply.
What kind of an impact is the price of diamonds having on local jewelers like yours?
Well, what's happening is, you know, initially the availability, the affordability and the availability of, you know, to the consumer, meaning having the ability to buy a diamond engagement ring or something along those lines, it's become affordable and therefore also more available and more attainable to the average consumer. So initially, it created opportunities. But anytime you have something that can be produced in infinite quantity, it's a race to the bottom. When I say race to the bottom, I mean as far as the pricing is concerned. So what's happened over time is the value of lab-grown diamonds has dropped significantly. And then also it's kind of pulled down the natural market along with it, because there's hasn't been any interest in natural diamonds, because you could get so much more, consumer could get so much more for his spend with a lab grown. So as the prices begin to drop, the margins become, you know, the profits become smaller, because you're talking about, you know, margins on a very, very small number compared to, let's say, a traditional natural diamond. In addition to that, the tariffs on natural diamonds, the margins are very small. The profit margins are very small. So you have wholesalers, distributors, and manufacturers of natural diamonds overseas that are working on, let's say, 10, 15%, but the tariffs are 10 or 15%. So it becomes problematic for them, because the tariffs are larger than some of the margins that they actually have on diamonds. So they just are sitting on inventories and just not, you know, sending those diamonds out. So now I think eventually we may see a swing in the other direction, where the consumers become more interested in, you know, natural diamonds again.
Is the outlook with the diamond market, is that a concern or is that a positive? Kind of where do you see things, you know, down the road?
I think I see a correction where eventually the interest in the lab-grown market will begin to fade we'll see the volatility in both segments, the natural market and the lab-grown market, are going to kind of level out and sustain itself. You'll see a correction. And then I think long-term, it'll be better for our industry. You know, we're going through a transition period where in the beginning stages, there was huge opportunities for retailers to capitalize on the extreme interest in the lab-grown market and the profitability that, was there. But now, eventually, now as the prices are beginning to drop in both areas, natural and lab-grown, there's less opportunity for us to earn the profits that we were earning prior. And now one of the two are going to survive. In my estimation, the lab-grown market is going to start to fizzle out. And then we'll see increased opportunities back in the natural market, which has proven to be more sustainable. It's a 150-year-old industry. So I think long-term, things will be better. Short-term, it's going to be a bit rocky.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.